This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Here we go, Producers Podcast. Thanks so much, as always, for checking it out. We got a great one today, quite literally, and a grand one in scale. The largest episode I've ever done, not quite in time, although I think, what do we do here? About almost an hour and a half, maybe? Maybe with this intro, my outro, and the demo audio I'll slice in here in a little bit. It'll get to about an hour and 30 total. Jam-packed with content, if you ask me. The entire team at Capital FM, Capital Network, Capital Extra, Capital TV. It's a team of eight. Chris Nickel is someone I've known for a little while now, actually. Originally from New Zealand. He's in London. He's the head of production for that entire team there. And like I said, eight producers, all of which amazing talent. And it seems like all of which are, you know, these new media talent that have their hands in a lot of different things, but all very good at what they do. Just a flourishing amount of information coming your way. Their backstories are all interesting, but we get into a lot of tech jargon in the back, or the second part, I should say. We talk about tools, how they like to do things there. The stuff I found most interesting is the collaboration and the collaborative efforts and techniques that they use, especially when it comes to, you know, eight different people producing audio for what amounts to one brand. You know, there's a lot of things, systems you have to have in place to get everything to sound the same, continuity, etc. So anyway, some of those processes were interesting to hear about. And then obviously writing is another one I was interested in. And we talked about that as well, amongst many, many other things. So Chris Nickel and his team from Capital, all coming up here in moments. I've got some cool photos they took for me. They were actually in the, if not the main, one of the main Capital FM on-air studios. It's all lit up fancy. And here's a little side note. See if you can notice the sounds. Let's just say something may or may not have been clinking throughout. Yes, for them it was 6 o'clock on a Friday when we did this interview. I couldn't hear it when I was talking to them, but when I went back and sort of edited down the episode, the interview, I certainly heard them then. Anyway, well, I'm not going to say any more, but it was a blast. And that'll be coming up in two parts. I will say I've been in touch with a variety of really cool people to talk with on this podcast. I don't know how much I've mentioned it in the last few episodes, but definitely one of my goals for 2014 was to sort of make these episodes even bigger events. You know, I did a round table a little while ago. I'm going to try and interview a bigger variety of people and hopefully a little bit more on the heavy hitter side of things. You know, some more executive types, some people that have kind of been around this business a long time and have worn a lot of different hats, or these big, massive teams. I mean, getting 5 out of the 8 people at Capital Networks together, you know, for one interview, I think it was pretty exciting. It was a pretty cool deal. So we're going to see a lot more like that coming up on this podcast this year and beyond. I believe my 5th anniversary is coming up in just a couple months, actually. So I'll have to start planning for August of this year and see what sort of, to be totally honest, in my mind, I already have what I want to do. And I think I've probably mentioned it before, but I want to do a reunion of some of the most popular and biggest names that I've had on the show. And, you know, maybe get another 2, 3, or 4 people together. And, you know, we're talking, I mean, you can take a wild guess at who I'm talking about, but some of the really biggest names, and see if I can get them all together and have a nice chat about the world of radio imaging, branding, station sound, etc. And maybe we'll get that done for the 5th anniversary of the show. Let's see here. I don't really have anyone specifically confirmed right now. It's hard to get times and dates locked up, and every time I seem to really say when someone's coming, it ends up getting delayed by a month or 2 weeks or, you know, whatever. I do know that I've been in touch with Nancy Wolfson, ultra talented coach and actually in casting as well. And she's agreed to do the show. It'll be great. But she wants to devote some good time to it. And this is a crazy season. And that's understandable. So I've had a couple of people request Nancy. That will be coming up. But it'll probably be middle of the summer at earliest. Maybe later in the summer. There's tons of great talent to talk to, and we'll get all that lined up for you. All right, that'll probably be enough for now. If you want to hear more about my site, my blog, the podcast, etc., we'll do that in the outro. For right now, let's hear some great, amazing audio. I'll do a little splice here from the Capital demo and the Capital Extra demo, but go to my website, and there's always show notes pages. I have links to most of the producers you'll hear from today, some of their SoundClouds and such. You'll hear their Twitters in the end. And then the full-length demos, I'll post those on my website as well. All right, that's enough. Enough yapping. Let's get to it. Here's Chris Nickel and his entire team from Capital FM in London.
Everybody, everybody.
Drop that beat.
The UK's number one.
Hit music station.
Woo!
Capital.
Give it to me.
The biggest stars.
Katy Perry.
It's Pitbull. This is Will I Am.
Could make you rich. Cash in with Capital.
Cash in with Capital.
It's all about cash.
Every song we play could be worth £100.
Keep it Capital. Count the songs and win.
Get that money.
Your first chance is Monday morning from 10.
You don't want to miss this.
Capital.
Mic check, 1, 2, yes, yes, y'all.
You know what time it is.
Let's go.
Hip hop.
Now.
The one and only Afro Beats.
Afro Beats.
With DJ Abrante.
Afro Beat.
Capital.
Dot. Heaven. UK. This is
Capital
Extra.
Extra.
This is
Capital Extra.
Me. Dance.
Evan.
UK.
What's wood? You already know what it is. Legend in the game.
Tim Westwood.
Tim Westwood.
Tim Westwood.
This is
Westwood.
All right, this is a great big fat awesome episode of the Producers Podcast that we are going to dive into because I'm actually pulling up. I was actually trying to pull up everybody's name. So what's going to happen is Chris has set up the team at Capital FM, the Capital Networks, Capital Extra, Capital Everything in London. We're doing this interview via Skype, and there's a room full of amazing, talented producers over there. I think it's an on-air studio. But anyway, without any further ado, I will introduce Chris, who will introduce his team, the ones that have joined us today on this podcast. So, Chris, thanks so much for setting this up, and let me know, who do you have over there with you today?
G'day. So we got Andrew Wilson.
Hello.
Joe Godfrey.
Hey.
Ryan Arnold.
Hello.
And Edward Rummins.
Hi.
I should also say those missing, Ashley Bard, he couldn't make it today, Damien Coombe, and Richard Newby.
Yeah, and as I told you in the previous, since they didn't join us, they're dead to me. But
yeah, fair enough.
It's really cool, actually. You know what? I missed the last name. You have Andrew, Joe, Ryan, obviously Chris. Is there somebody else there?
Ed.
Yeah, hi.
Ed. Okay, Ed. Great. I want to make sure I have everybody's name. Anyway, so so Chris, you are officially, what is your title? Head Chief Boss of Production. What's your official title there?
My official title is Head of Production for the Capital FM Network.
Okay. Capital FM Network does include multiple stations with the Capital FM brand. How many stations is it? Or how many frequencies? How many sticks?
Gosh, lots of frequencies. I think it's 9 sites now.
Okay.
We've just recently actually added the 9th, or we are adding the 9th with a Welsh-speaking station.
Cool. Because I know just enough to know that Welsh is a interesting, fascinating language that only Welsh humans really know how to speak, right?
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So you've got about 9 sticks for the Capital FM brand. You also have Capital Extra. Explain This is something that happens in the UK and actually around the world a lot. It doesn't really happen in the US, or at least not the same way. But is this an online-only brand, and what does it do? What's the purpose of it?
So it's actually digital radio, so we call it DAB, and it also broadcasts on FM frequency in London. And essentially, it's an extension of the Capital brand, I guess, but it's more of an urban and dance feel, very English urban rather than American urban. So it's not so much of your Ludacris's and your Jay-Z's and stuff, and it's a lot more kind of English urban, which tends to be a little bit more dance-based anyway. And that's national on the DAB platform.
Excellent. And then you guys do work for some form of video or television also.
Yeah, Capital TV, we do, and we also do Heart TV at the moment. That may change.
And in fact, why don't I let somebody else speak up? Somebody else in the room, tell me what goes into producing for Capital TV.
The awkward thing is I've been doing most of that.
Okay, well, hey, Chris. Hey, Chris, how about you tell me what's up with Capital TV?
Actually, to be fair, Damien Koo, we couldn't make it. He does a lot of the TV stuff. And I mean, essentially, we do a lot of the big concerts like the Summertime Ball, Jingle Bell Ball, and we film the artists. They'll build a TV studio behind the stages there, not obviously directly behind, but behind the scenes, and they'll film them doing bits and pieces, essentially the same way you'd get like drops for your radio station, like London's number one hit music station or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll actually film them doing that. So we take the same approach that we do to making imaging to the TV stuff. It's just got a visual element, really. And then we'll sync it all to the picture once the TV guys have edited all that up, and then we'll tidy the sound up and add some cool stuff.
And so you just said TV guys, so I'm actually curious, though, of your team there. You know, these are some of the best audio producers in, well, we can say the world, but certainly the UK. But do you also have, do your folks there, the people I'm talking to now, also have a lot of chops with video editing and putting that together, or are there other people that do the picture?
There's other people that do the picture. So we've got the TV station actually has a team of, I'm going to say, 8 to 12 people that are editing and creating content all day, every day for that. And then we'll support on a an audio sense. So if they're doing something that does need tidying up, then we're all across that part of it.
And just one more for Chris, and then I'll get into everybody else. On Capital TV, just because I'm curious, you know, we have music channels in the States, plenty of them, but they have evolved into different things over time, you know, like MTV used to be music, now it's more long-form programming. Anyway, give us an idea, what exactly is Capital TV, and how big is it in the UK? You know, is it kind of a minor station, or does it have a lot of popularity? Does it have a vast reach?
It's still quite early days. I mean, it's been going a little, don't quote me, but I'm going to say about a year and a half or something like that. And it is music videos, and the content that's generated will be around the artists, very similar to the radio station, rather than, you know, feature length shows and that kind of stuff. I would say that it's, oh, here we go. I've been handed figures. This is amazing. I can't find it. Oh, there we go. It says here. Amazing. Doesn't have the figures on it. Do you know what? I'm not entirely sure if they've got the figures, but it's non-stop music videos, essentially.
Sure.
That's the idea of it. But, you know, like for Summertime Ball and Jingle Bell Ball, they'll create programs from stuff that they film at the concerts.
Do they do any live programming based on, you know, concerts and shows that Capital FM is already being a part of?
At this stage, not yet. But I believe, you know, long term, that will certainly be the plan. Again, as I say, it's early days. I mean, I know that the TV guys, that team grew by 5 people earlier this year, purely based on the fact that, you know, I think it's such a growing medium. And obviously a lot of that content that they do, they film a lot of the stuff we do on the radio station, so it lives on the radio station, then it becomes part of the TV station, it also becomes part of the website, so we've got really fancy video footage for things there as well, so it becomes a bit more of a 360 degree kind of media outlet.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I know obviously video is a humongous deal and has been for the last decade or so, and radio people are now being kind of forced into that world whether they like it or not. But it's also exciting that you can take a job as a radio producer and then be a part of a really big television brand. And if that's something you like, then, you know, that's just great. So that's exciting for all of you. Let me shift, though. I want to get a little bit now. I usually like to get a little background on the guests. Sometimes it goes a little long with five of you total. You know, I definitely just want a couple of bullet points. But why don't I I'm going to randomly start with Ryan because I happen to like the name. And
great name. Great name.
Yeah, great name. Though I've already been referred to as American Ryan four times now as we've chatted. So, Ryan, tell me, let's see here. Where are you from? What was your very first job in radio? Without too much detail, but what was your very first job in sound or radio? And then how did you find your way to Capital?
Okay. So I first started in hospital radio, and I did a request show for some elderly ladies. And they liked the fact that I sounded like their grandson, so they took a shining to me. Then I went to university, studied some radio stuff, and applied for a job at Capital. I did loads of jobs for different radio stations, but none of them were really long term. And then I didn't get a job at Capital, and I applied for it quite a few times. So it's really bizarre me saying to the story because the person that gave me the job is sitting opposite me, and I've got to say the story, and he knows it very well. But basically, I didn't get the job. So I then called him quite a lot, and I asked him basically why I didn't get the job. And then he said, well, he basically said, you can come in, someone else is in there. So I came in and helped out, like did all the little small jobs for everyone. And eventually he was impressed. I hope he was impressed. I think I annoyed everyone here who was sitting around me in the process. But then they said, oh, you come in for more time. And then I didn't leave from that week. I've been here since that week.
What's that, 2 years
How long
ago?
Have you been there? 2 years. That's great.
Yeah, about 2 years. Wow. It's been 2 years. It's flown by, though. You know, it doesn't really feel like work, you know, Ryan? American Ryan. Really doesn't really feel like work, does it?
Right. No. That's the beauty of this. You know, and these people who hire us know this. They know they can also abuse us because we never actually feel like we're going to work. So, you know, for better or worse. Thanks, Ryan. Let's go to Joe. Joe, are you the only female on the staff there?
No. There's just me here at Capital.
Just you.
And the imaging team.
So is it your job to basically keep everybody in line, or are you, you know, one of these girls that are probably more obscene and out of kilt than the guys, and they have to keep you in line?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think so. No, I am kind of like the mother of the team. They're just trying to organize my mic that keeps slipping down. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Oh, I can. Yeah.
Yeah? Better. Cool. Yeah, so I keep them in line, keep them in check, buy them Easter eggs, give them nice things on Valentine's Day.
Try and make them eat
healthy.
Keep
the morale going. Yeah, I give them lots of dietary advice, nutrition advice, and all that sort of stuff.
So, do you don't have to share a bathroom there, do you?
No, thank God.
Okay, good.
That is where I draw the line.
Good,
you know,
good.
I can deal with all the obscenities that come out of their mouths and all the rude jokes and all the things that girls shouldn't actually find funny. I do.
Yeah, so give us let me give you the same deal. You know, where did you very first get started, and then how did you find your way to Capital? And actually, tell us where you're from too, because I do have plenty of people listening in the UK. So if you're, you know, tell us what town or area you're originally from.
I'm from a little place called South Devon, actually a town called Newton Abbott. We have a racecourse. So if I say we have a racecourse, that's usually people go, oh, I know where that is.
And we're talking IndyCar or IRL?
Horses.
Oh, horses. Okay, see, I'm an idiot. Continue.
A horse racing town. Very small, bit Devonshire, a bit local, but I do love it. And they all talk like that. So it's very local. And I left there to go to university in Leeds. And then I started at Galaxy 105, which is now Capital Yorkshire.
Okay.
Started there on the breakfast show as Phone Girl. Answering phones and kind of working along. Well, we launched Hursty's Daily Dose, which was, well, still going now. So that's how long ago that was. And then from there, I went to LBC as production assistant, working across 1152 and LBC as it is now. And then from there, I went to Mercia FM, which was part of GCAP. And that's when I got my first imaging role. So I started in station sound kind of really then, but sort of dabbled with it at the stations before. I did that for about a year. and then moved to Kerrang in Birmingham, which is where I kind of grew, and did that for 5 years, which is why I think I deal with bloke humour quite well. I don't know if you're familiar with Kerrang.
I am. At all. I am, actually, and I was going to say that's a pretty solid gig to have, right?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was an awesome station. I learned so much. I was able to be creative. Well, not that you're not here and not these days, but I think we had open book, really. I was quite lucky to come in there, and actually I had to try and change Kerrang from being blokey. So my role was to try and make it more friendly and appealing for women. Mm-hmm. And to kind of relaunch an imaging package there, along with the producer, Keith Kleinfeld, who was there with me. So that was pretty epic to do that. So after 5 years, I then moved to Capital, which I've been here for 2.
And was Chris the one that hired you also?
He was, yeah.
Excellent. Congrats to Chris. All right, thanks, Joe. how about Andrew? Give us the details. Where'd you start out, and where are you from? Where'd you start out, and how'd you get to Capital?
Okay, I'm from a place called Leicester, which is in the East Midlands. I started off at my local station, Leicester Sound, is now Capital, literally just by bombarding them with phone calls and emails saying, give me a job, give me a job. I kind of knew that I wanted to work in radio, just had no idea what I wanted to do. So they gave me a chance, and I was sort of T-boy, ROTs, which is basically giving clients their audio so they know exactly how it sounded on air. So I'd work through the night putting those together. Just took it from there. Then sort of from that, I went to Trent FM in Nottingham making commercials. Did that for a year. Realised I wanted to do imaging. So practised and with the guys there, a guy called George Taylor, who now works at Wise Buddha, hearing some of his stuff, I was like, imaging is what I wanted to do. So I went from Nottingham to Derby doing imaging, then back to Nottingham, Trent, 2 years later, where we looked after 6 stations, which was the Hit Music Network. And then all those stations turned into Capital. I applied for the job at Capital, and I've been here for 3.5 years. So I was kind of inherited by Chris.
Great.
So he was kind of lumbered with me more so than him giving me a job.
That's cool. So you have some pretty good pedigree, and you worked under George Taylor, right?
I worked with George Taylor, so we kind of we're pretty good mates.
Pretty talented guy, yeah. Right? I mean, people have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he's very talented, and when you're making commercials and hearing imaging, it's kind of quite inspiring. So I'd hear some stuff he did, and was like, right, I want to be sort of up to his standard, really. So I was just kind of practicing, getting in the studio, learning tips, and then it kind of ended up at Capital.
Yeah, I'll get to this a little bit more in a bit, but working with a team, just literally having somebody else around you making stuff is definitely one of the biggest ways to get better at what you do. So you guys have a huge advantage there. Let's see here. Is it Ed? Ed, I didn't want to miss you. Ed, are you around? Give us your background.
Yeah, like Ryan, I also started at a hospital radio station. This was about 10 years ago now, taking requests, playing a lot of Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Vera Lynn. and then from there, I went to university and got involved in the student radio station. This was in York. And after that, I did a couple of crappy office jobs, but at the same time I did some radio on the side. And then I joined a community radio station, an urban radio station called Bang, Bang 106 FM. I was there for about 2 years, and then I moved to Ministry of Sound Radio. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the brand Ministry of Sound.
Yeah, it's huge EDM, right?
Yeah, that's right. It specializes in like dance music.
Yeah.
And I was doing imaging there. I was interning there mainly. I wasn't actually getting paid, and it got to a point where I was like, I need to find a job that pays money, because I was skint. So I kind of took the first radio job that came along, which was a scheduling job. And I didn't realize that there were boring jobs in radio until I did that. It wasn't the best job I've ever had. And I was like, okay, I really want to follow the imaging route and do that instead of scheduling, because scheduling was no fun whatsoever. So I kind of did a bit of freelancing for Ministry of Sound and made a demo and then sent it to Chris at Capital when a job came up, and that's how I got in here.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Yeah, these are all cool stories. It's good. You know, I mean, everybody seemed to have kind of put in their time in the smaller stations. Over there, it's Hospital Radio. We don't have that here, but we've talked about it on this podcast in the past a few times. But anyway, it's cool to hear. Now, Chris, real quickly, we obviously know what you do there at Capital, but where are you from and where'd you get started briefly?
I'm from New Zealand. I'm from a town called Hamilton you should never visit.
Okay.
Ever. For example, I went out there at Christmas and avoided it. I started in radio at 16 with the local CHR station, just helping out on the show. I went to a university course in Christchurch, and I'm sure there'll be people who are familiar with that horrible earthquake there. That destroyed pretty much the whole city. I remember it before it wasn't broken. Then after that, I got a job doing imaging for ZM in Auckland, New Zealand. I was there for about 6.5, near 7 years, and I just got bored and chucked the towel in and came over to London, not really sure what to expect. I applied for a job at Capital under a guy called Arden Hanley, who didn't hire me because didn't think I was passionate enough, and I was pretty ripped actually. But they needed someone to freelance for about 6 weeks till the guy could start in the job who they had hired. And in that time, I managed to kind of prove myself, mm-hmm. and that then turned into a full time job for me. And then after about a year and a bit, Arden left. And I was I'm going to use the word lucky, but sometimes I wonder if that's the case, the person put in charge. No, seriously, best job I've ever had. It's so good. So,
well, I mean, as far as gigs, you know, quote unquote gigs, I mean, head of production for Capital FM, Capital Networks, Capital TV. In your opinion, tell me what would be a step up? Like, what would be bigger than that? What would be better?
I don't know if Kelly's listening, but I am available. No, I'm just kidding.
What is she going to hire you for? What's better though in America?
Do you know what? I don't know. And it's not like I ask myself this question all the time, because this is an incredible job. You know, we've got a great station plus TV. I mean, the events we put on, we sell out Wembley every year. We sell out the O2 Arena 2 nights in a row. We get to do, you know, it's not often you get to make something, then stand as one of, 80,000 people and watch it and hear it play.
Yeah.
You know, just an epic piece of imaging or something. And I don't know. I mean, the challenges that are presented here are just incredible. We get involved in so many different things.
Yeah,
anything.
Not to cut you off, sorry. In the States, though, I mean, you mentioned Kelly, and for anybody who doesn't know, anybody listening to me, I'm sure does, but, you know, she's now essentially head of all creative imaging for Clear Channel, and she works out of New York, but she used to be the KISS FM producer. But I mean, really, you know, what are you going to, come work for Clear Channel and do a few stations here? I mean, Capital FM, as I've learned now in the last couple years, has risen to, if not, Is it the most popular CHR station in all the UK? Or is that the status you guys are at now?
I would say that's what we're aiming for. I think what are we, 7.7 million was the last sort of figures that came out, something like that. Commercially, definitely, we are right up there. I think I wouldn't say it's something that's just turned around. There's been a lot of hard work, and, you know, we've pulled some decent figures on and off, I think, for a long time. But certainly at the moment, I think we're enjoying a really nice run.
Let me just shift over to somebody else. I'm just going to ask this question randomly. I will pick Andrew. You know, being over here and a long time ago, I actually used to listen to Radio 1 a lot. And as far as I knew, Radio 1 was it, the be-all, end-all CHR young person station, you know, and network over time. And I believe that has changed. Is this true, and why do you think it is that Capital has become so successful and been able to compete so well with a non-commercial station like that, Monster like that?
I think it's the investment that's gone in. Like the big bosses here sort of had a vision of what they wanted to do. They wanted to take on Radio 1, be the first commercial national station. And that's kind of what we've done. They've got the team. Like everyone here is so ridiculously talented, it's not funny. So it's just an inspiring place to be, and it just makes you want to be better and better each day. The original aim was to, yeah, basically take on Radio 1. Radio 1 was always sort of ahead of everyone, because a few years ago, network really didn't really happen. But when you combine all these capital stations into one big network, it becomes a bit of a beast. So then you can take on these guys like Radio 1.
It seems like, I mean, you just mentioned the investment of the bosses, you know, the company. It seems like in the States, companies are maybe doing less of that. I'm being very kind right now. But they may not be investing in their team. They may be reducing staff. But it seems like Capital FM, and in fact, why don't I have Ryan speak to this, is an example of why a company can actually put money into a brand, put money into radio, and succeed, and, if it's true, increase their profits, bring more money in, and be a huge success?
Well, I'm not one to speak about the finance. I never see that, but I can just talk about how the atmosphere has changed amongst the team I've been here in the last 2 years. And yeah. I can say that since the change we've made like that, it's got, you know, really good. Everyone feels really good about the station. Everyone feels really good about where we're going. There's a great feel. Like, summertime balls have got better every single year. Jingle bell balls sounding bigger and better every single year. And it feels like it's going in the right direction. And I think that's really a testament of exactly what we're doing. And we've had a change in PD. It used to be, we've got a new guy called Rob Davidio. He's in, and he's got it spot on, I think, in my personal opinion. If you walk along our floor, you can see how everyone gets on, and that's mainly due to him. And the ideas that are coming on, they're from him as well.
Explain to me how that works. You said you're PD, one PD. Is there literally one program director over the entire network that is essentially the PD of all the stations? Or is he more of a top operations manager, and there are still local PDs at the capital stations? How does that work?
So we have Rob Davidio is in charge of London, and he'll make a lot of decisions for network competitions and stuff. So, like, if we're doing something like the Summertime Ball, he will be in charge of that project as a whole. But we do have local program directors and stuff who will look after the local shows, because we do local breakfast, local drive. They'll also look after a lot of the local activity. You know, if they're putting on events in their own patches, they'll do that as well. But I mean, they kind of fold into what we might do as a network, which would be decided here as because London's like a hub. So yeah. Rob might go, okay, do you know what would be a really cool competition for the network? It might be that we're going to do a £1 million breakfast game. And we're going to do that on every site. Communicate that out, and we'll obviously do the production around it, and then he'll communicate kind of how he wants it to work, and, you know, he'll get everyone else to sort of, I say buy in, but, you know, kind of join up and organize and help plan their own shows around that. But so I guess in some ways it's kind of more of a leadership in terms of collaborative approach, yeah, rather than I'm the boss and you must do what I say kind of thing.
But I'm sure it does come down to that at times when you have initiatives that you want to send across the network and you want the whole brand to be a part of. It would be this your program director, Rob, that will say, all right, team, you know, you have your stations, but this one you're on, like you're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly for the case of London, he would do that. I think, it's more of a, think of it, I guess, like dotted lines and straight lines in terms of reporting structures. So, like, Rob's kind of going to have a dotted line with someone in a regional program director job, but they'll all report. Rob reports to the same person that they report to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in some ways it's in everyone's best interests,
yeah,
if that makes sense. Without, I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like there's a hierarchy or anything, because there certainly isn't, but I mean, I think that's kind of how you would look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great. It's a well it's I've been listening to it. I think I actually, you know, I chatted with you guys a little while ago for a kind of a reverse deal here. And I had told you that I finally got my whole home, you know, wired up with Sonos so I can toss on Capital anytime I want. So I've been listening to it a lot more. It's an amazing brand. And I'm curious, you know, there's so many moving parts to it. And then you guys are also producing imaging or station sound for other stations, you know, within the brand, and then Capital Extra, Capital TV. So why don't I ask Joe to speak a little bit about the structure and, like, do you guys do all of the production for all of the stations individually, including all of, like, their breakfast shows?
So, yeah, we'll do basically imaging packages, which will go on all of the stations, would be for the network. We have breakfast packages for the network. So, yeah, we basically produce everything here in London. We then do all S&P across all the network too. So anything that's going on in the regions, we'll all just sort of have it here centrally and we'll produce it. Like, I head up all of the S&P for the whole network. So any sponsorships, promos, trails, I don't know what you call it over there. So
what does, like, S&P stand for?
Sponsorship and promotions. Okay. So any client activity apart from adverts or commercials, is that how you know them over there?
Yeah, sure. We'd say spots, commercials, yeah. Advertisements, sure.
So we don't do advertisements. We do any station-led client activity.
Sure.
So that all comes to me. I deal with that, and then we produce it here and we send it out. So as you can imagine, if you've got sort of nine sites and then you've got sort of four sponsorships on one site, you've got six promos going on one site, you've got a big event going on in Birmingham, it can get pretty hectic. So we're pretty busy all the time producing for all the regions as well as London.
And tell me how it works out. So, like, you know, example, would Andrew be in charge of X amount of stations, or would he, does he do like all the breakfast shows, and then does Ed do a certain block of stuff, or do you guys all do everything?
We've got Ash, who's our breakfast show producer at the moment. So he's in early, and he'll deal with anything that the breakfast show needs. So any top and beds, he'll be on the fly. So if they suddenly want a feature being produced, he'll jump on that. He's there to edit anything really quickly. So interviews, his job is kind of like to be on hand for the breakfast show, which is awesome, because if they suddenly want, you know, they've come up with this great idea on the fly, they go straight to Ash and he'll produce it there and then. Will so kind of deals more with specialist stuff, I'd say, for Extra, heading up all the Extra stuff. Ed, he's our sponsorship guy. He's our credits guy. He deals with all credits for all the stations. So he's got an incredibly important and busy job, because we've got split links, we've got split travel credits, and, you know, they all have to time out and be the same length. So he has got to split his brain about 19 different ways to make sure every credit's in the right place. I don't envy his job.
That stuff.
I just
makes
tell
me,
him what to do, and then he does it.
That stuff makes me crazy.
Brilliant. Yeah, so he's awesome. So I kind of turn to Ed for that. And then really the rest of us, we just sort of dip in and out of any sponsorships and promotion stuff. If we've got any kind of big events like Fusion Festival, that's quite hard to say. And then we all dip into it really and just make it sound as big as we can, and like you do with London. So we all kind of take an equal role. And we all have our strengths. Like, we know what we're good at. Damo, for example, is a really good writer. He can sort of take a very dull promotion and make it sound fun and, you know, exciting. And we've got sort of, well, Ryan's very good at sort of the music-based stuff, so he can kind of sort of beat match anything, and so he does the kind of hot production, and I kind of dip into sort of big imaging projects along with Wilso. And Chris has kind of stepped back from production at the moment. He does make a lot, but he's kind of managing, aren't you, and doing lots of the running of things. So
I could imagine with a team of eight, it is eight plus Chris. I mean, I could imagine an entire workday would be taken up by just making sure the team of eight has, you know, knows what they need to do and gets it done.
Yeah, and Chris obviously oversees everything. So everything goes through Chris. There's nothing that goes up the transmitter that hasn't been Chris approved and had the okay.
The stamp of approval.
That's not good enough. Do it again.
Chris, do you literally listen to everything that is produced before it gets to the air, wherever it's getting to?
Yeah, let's say 95%, or actually probably a bit less, 75%, because Ed's 25% is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the amount of stuff that he is getting through and organizing, but he's super self-sufficient with that and does an excellent job of it. But yes, I will listen to everything and anything that's going anywhere on any of our brands.
We have to deal with these situations over here, you know, whether it's a program director that wants to hear everything, and there's people listening to me that are imaging 6 or 7 stations by themselves, and then they have 6 program directors or maybe 3, whatever. And sometimes they have to fire everything through them, and there's different ways it gets done. How does it get done there? Are you getting emailed audio often? Are you having to walk into various studios often? How does that get done?
I do a bit of both. Well, not so much the email. We use a system. Like I have a network drive set up, and when anything's done, it's stuck in there for me to listen to. And then I can listen and feedback via email, or I can go and chat with the producer, whatever. Everyone has a sort of different way of working. So some people prefer to get a checklist of, I think these might be some good suggestions. Or of course, nice work, awesome, stick it on. Other people prefer you to walk in and have a quick chat and look at it. And everyone's different. So I respect that part of the feedback process, but everything sits in a folder that we have set up. 90% of it Joe manages because of the amount of commercial activity that we roll. But yeah, all of the station-led stuff will all go in there. And then we, I go through it, and people will email me and say, oh, it's in there when you're ready, and then I'll have a listen. I mean, it sounds more difficult than it is, but actually I would have thought that, you know, 80% of stuff goes straight on after that point, because we've all, actually the team's been together now for, in its current form, for about a year-ish or so. So we all kind of know how we work, and we all know what to do and how to achieve it. So it's not as scary as it seems. The only problem is, if you're having a really bad day, I think it sucks, because it's like, okay, do it again, 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 do it again.
American Wine, when I started, I did, I think I was going through 8 approvals at one stage.
Yeah, you were.
8.
Is that right? So
yep, that's right.
All right, so let's
talk
about that.
I'm very difficult.
I was going to move on to something different, but it's an interesting topic, because we all have egos, whether we, you know, want to admit it or not. Everybody has an ego. But how do you get past something like that? You know, you just start off, especially this big, humongous monster job at this big, massive brand, and, you know, you're getting told, redo, redo, redo. How do you deal with that? Did it, you know, did you deal with it well? And just tell me about that situation.
Well, I came from a place where, when I was at university at the time, I was, it feels ridiculous calling myself this, but I was the head of production for a tiny community station. So I was the last buck before, you know, it went to air, so to speak. And being that last bit of control, and then you go here, and I was right at the bottom, and I was making stuff that was at the best of my ability at the time. And I realised that actually that my best was nowhere near the level that was needed. And it was quite tough, actually. But the sooner I got over that, the sooner I could actually start learning stuff. I found that when I learned more stuff, it was becoming 7 times approved, then 6 times approved, and then 5 times, and now it's gone back up to 12. But that's not the point. It's good. And the thing is, everyone else who comes to our team, whether it's an intern or whether it's work experience, they've got the right attitude. And I think the biggest thing is having the right attitude. There's no place, especially in our team, for egos, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. So I did have this actually lowered down as a whole overall topic, but I would imagine the people I've come across in radio, you know, when you're in these mid-level markets, and especially small and mid-level markets, you have people that just think because they're, you know, middays on an AC station in market 150, they're the king of the world, or they're imaging, you know, a rock station in market 53, you know, they're better than you, period. But once you get up into these top 10 American markets, and then you get into like a situation like Capital, I would imagine if you have an ego, it gets checked at the door real fast. And is there any situations there where I don't know, you're all around each other, so you can't really point fingers, but is there any scenarios where maybe that had to happen, where people came in like, yeah, man, I'm I'm, you know, the king dog here. I'm going to run this capital. And it had to get stowed.
I'm looking to see if anyone else wants to speak before I take over. No, it looks like I'm doing it. Right. So, you're right. When you enter into a realm like we have where, I think collectively all of our experience adds up to sort of 50-odd years.
Yeah.
In actual fact, I have less experience than some of the other people on this team. I've not worked in radio as long. But that doesn't make me or them any better. It's all about what we want to achieve as a team. You know, we're all on the same boat and we don't want it to sink. And I think it can be difficult. I mean, when I started here under Arden, he quickly checked my ego at the door, and you know, because I'd gone from being the only person, a bit like Ryan, in charge of a network of stations across New Zealand. I didn't know what had hit me, but mm-hmm. it taught me a really good lesson, which is good production speaks for itself. It doesn't need to be. You don't need to follow it up with an attitude or look at me, yeah. I'm better than you. It's just about if you just deliver good work and people like it, that's all that needs to happen. Doesn't matter about anything else.
And it seems at a level like that, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but it seems like that sort of attitude, like, you know, how cool am I to be working in radio and I'm, you know, I'm awesome and you better, you know, my ego's huge. That seems to go away, though, when you get to these massive jobs. The talent, the cream that rises to the top, also seems to be pretty grounded, just simply talented people that don't need to tell you how good they are.
Oh, absolutely. And I think also, the way that we work here, although I sit there and I'm going through and approving all this audio, if I make something, I'm not going to not play it to someone and get their thoughts on it because I'm not above...
Right.
Having my work approved, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the time if I do something, I'll stick it in the folder where we get everything approved because I know everyone else goes through it and has a listen to what everyone else is doing. So, I think that's a really important part of the process. We're all here to get better. And if Ryan thinks I've done a bad job at something, I want him to tell me. As much as he wants me to tell him if he's done a bad job.
Yeah, but that's got to be key. I mean, especially when you have a team of eight. I mean, that's one of the, like I mentioned early that having these people that are super talented to then be, always there to listen to your work is one of the bigger benefits, you know, a talent can have. Not everybody has that, and then not everybody has the most talented people. So that's a huge benefit.
And I also think that if you've got a leader or someone that you can look up to as a team, you need to, have something to aim for, and you need to kind of go, right, I want to get to that level. And I think all of us here, like, we look at each other and we can see, like, you know, different parts of production, and we want to know how to do it, and we want to just be able to kind of, like, get to that ability and that level. And
yeah.
Well, that's how I felt coming from Kerrang. So,
yeah, I think it's we all have our strengths and weaknesses, don't we? Like I know what I'm not good at, and that's why Ed does what he does, and that's why Ryan does what he does, that's why Joe does what she does, and that's why Wilso does what he does, because there are things I'm not good at. But equally, there are things I know I am awesome at that can help sort of plug that gap. It's like, you know, you don't build I'll use the word football because that makes sense to English people and Americans, but you have every player on a football team to fulfill a different role. And, you know, whilst we do everything on the station, you know, we all do sponsorship stuff, we all do station lead stuff, we all touch all the elements of the station, we all know what we're better at than others, and equally what others are better at than us. So the sum of the parts is going to make, hopefully, the idea is the sum of the parts will make the station just sound kick-ass.
Absolutely.